Vancouver.
See, I used to live in BC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool.
Everybody loves Canadians.
Yeah, well, we're such a fun-loving group of people.
Oh, yeah. Now, she was a Canadian who didn't like hockey.
Well, I'm not crazy about hockey, but that would be like saying that you wouldn't like the American flag. I mean, it's almost sacrilegious to say you don't like hockey. I don't admit it publicly, but I'm not crazy about it.
Oh, my gosh. Now, Pat Lee, so you're a Crescent Moon Press writer.
I am.
You're Canadian. Now, where in Canada are you located?
I'm living in Ontario.
Ontario?
Yeah.
So it's very dry there. Is it, like, dry, like... Because I'm in Colorado.
I know, which is really cool. I'll have to talk to you about that later, because that's where the next book I'm writing takes place. Anyway.
Oh!
Yeah, so I need to have to pick your brain. No, it's very it's dry in the winter. We have really dry winters here, but in summer it can get really humid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh. And we still have 2 feet of snow.
Oh, so it's not that dry.
No.
Oh my gosh! So but you've been a Crescent Moon Press writer for a while now. When did your first book, Crescent Moon Press book, come out?
It only came out 2 years ago, not quite 2 years ago.
Okay, so 2 years.
It'll be June 2011 when it came out. No, yeah, June 2011.
Okay, and that's right when I signed my contract with them. So
cool.
your book was out, and then I got signed the contract, and then my book came out March of 2012.
Yeah.
And what is the name of that book?
The first one?
Yes.
It's called Destiny's Past.
Destiny's Past. And what's your pitch when you're out at a bookstore selling it? What do you say?
buy
my book, please. Buy my book.
No.
I like that pitch. I use the same one.
What I say is, it's a book that would appeal to everybody between the age of 15 and 16 that likes fantasy with a little bit of mystery and mysticism and romance all mixed in one. And time travel.
Time travel? So time travel, fantasy, mystery, romance.
Yep.
So how does the time travel element play into it?
Well, I can tell you this because it won't give away. It takes the character, the first character is Kelly. She is a morgue intern and she works the night shift because she has decided that normal interaction with people and well-meaning people is just, she's at a point in her life where she just needs to be away from people. She used to be a physician and she just got too emotionally involved with her patients and she ended thought, well, it's easier for me to separate myself from that and become an ME. So she's an ME intern. She's working in the morgue. And she's just about to, she's been there for about 6 months and she's just about to do the next cadaver on the list because she's working the night shift and she pulls open the drawer and the guy's still alive. And the guy is actually a prince from 2,000 years ago that has been poisoned by someone in his palace. He doesn't know if it's the staff, he doesn't know if it's family, he doesn't know if it's friends, and he's dying. And the only way to save his life is to have his friend, who's a sorceress, to send him forward in time because she hasn't got the knowledge of what poison is killing him, and he's going to die. So she sends him forward in time. And it lands on the slab of the morgue.
with this woman who's trying not to really be with people anymore.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so she... And he's dying, and so... I mean, she looks at him and he says... Her medical instincts kick in, and her desire to help people because she used to be a physician kicks in, and she actually saves his life. And then she decides, well, this guy's like wackadoodle because he's spouting off about being from 2,000 years ago, and da 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 da. And she feels really her moral sense is, I can't leave this guy just doing nothing. And he says something to her that makes her go, okay, how would you know this? So she, against her better judgment, she takes him home because he's got no place else to go. And she says, okay, I'm just going to, you know, give him something to eat, give him a place to stay overnight, and I'll call the guys in the great white jackets and ship them off to the rubber room. But that doesn't happen.
No, wait, no, okay, so he's 2,000 years ago. Which, where in the world
is he from?
Yeah.
He's from a mystical place. It's a place called Lesos, and that is from my head, but geographically it would be where Syria, Iran, Iraq, Russia, all in there, from the Middle East, from 2,000 years ago.
Wow, so you made up your own country.
Yes. It's fantasy. I can do whatever I want.
but it's fantasy. But he's Middle Eastern. So he's like,
yeah. I mean, he's not Caucasian, but he's not African American.
Oh yeah. He's Middle Eastern. He's Arabian. So did you study that time period and kind of those cultures to kind of take from history to build your fantasy kingdom?
I did some geography looking and stuff like that. But since most of this book, the first book, takes place in modern day North America, I didn't have to do it that much. The second book takes place in 2,000 years in Lesos, and I did some history on that. I did some research on that.
Now, is the second book out?
Yeah. Came out in December.
And that is...
That's Destiny's present.
Oh. And then Destiny's future.
Yes, I'm in the middle of writing right now.
How's the writing going?
It went great guns last summer and fall, and then I kind of threw the boat anchor out, and I went... But now it's I'm back in my game. It's going good. I mean, you know what it's like. And I'm halfway through writing the third book.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Man, so where does it take place? So it's Destiny's Past takes place on, you know, in North America. Which city did you choose?
I made up a city, but it's in South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina.
Somewhere, yeah. I made up the city,
Did you get pressure to have your book? I know there's another Canadian author I talked to, Joanna Brothwell, and good old Joanna. She's another Crescent Moon Press
author.
She Stealing Breath is her book. She wanted to set it in Canada, and they said no. You have to set it in the U.S. to make it more marketable.
I didn't get that pressure. However, Because of the fact that the United States has a larger demographic than Canada does, specifically with fantasy and stuff like that, it only seemed natural because there's more buying public in the States than there is in Canada, because your population is larger than ours. It just seemed easier to do it that way. It really did.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of Canada, so I'd love to see like a Red Green show meets X-Files. That'd be great, man. To have these kind of backwoods Canadians hunting aliens. I'm going to write that book.
Actually, there is a book out like that, and I won't even tell you the name because it's yikes. But anyway, you just have to move up to Northern Ontario or Northern Manitoba, and you just could live. You could live the book.
Oh my gosh! So okay. So do you now, Kosa? You're hard at work on ending this trilogy.
Yeah.
So you didn't have all three books written. You had the first book written, and you gave it to Crescent Moon Press, and then you wrote the second one. Then you're working on the third one.
Yes and no. I actually had the first I had the first one done, like edited and everything. Well, edited is what we think of edited, and edited what Crescent Moon thinks, you know, as a publisher. So edited is like totally different. I had the first one done and submitted, and I had the first draft of the second one done before I submitted even the first book. So I had two under my belt.
Oh, okay.
And I knew by the time I released book one, which was June of 2011, I knew what was going to happen in the third.
Oh, sure.
Roughly.
Sure. Now, did you ever think about indie publishing rather than going with the small press?
Isn't that the same thing?
No! Indie publishing means you start out, you know, you find the copy editor, you find the cover artist, you do all of that yourself.
No, I never considered that. No, I never did. I kept at it, and it took me over a year, well over a year, to get a publisher.
Oh, yeah, major, me too.
Oh, yeah, major rejections. Oh, my God.
Do you have any funny rejection stories?
No. Most of them were no answer at all. Or
isn't that terrible? I would rather have them just say a big no, like an email that just says, "Hello, no, yours truly, literary agent." Much, because you don't know, right? Did the email get to them? Did it not get to them? That kind of thing.
I agree, for the most part. The only reason that I see their reasoning for it is they get, and I don't know literary agents, or I don't know a publisher other than CMP personally, but considering how many millions...
Yeah.
Are writing and want to get published and are desperately trying to break into the business, they get flooded. So I honestly can understand why they don't. I'm not saying that I didn't appreciate it, that they would have sent me one, but I understand why. I really do, because you don't have enough hours in a day. There just isn't.
But couldn't you, like, copy-paste? A form is better than... I don't like to be ignored, right? So maybe that's my own personal issue I'll work on. Now, do you write with a critique group? Or do you have beta readers? Or
Where I'm living is a smaller community. So, mind you, that being said, and the world is now connected to the internet, I could have used a critique group, but no, I don't. I have one beta reader who is also a published author with a different house. And she is really good for me, but I don't have anyone who will give me the hard knuckle saying, "You really need to fix this." Maybe because, I don't know, I just, I'm very much a loner with regards to that, and there's no one within 4 hours of driving that I could go and physically join a...
Sure.
I'm just too remote.
How big is your little town?
Well, it's only about 11,000 people, but it's remote. It's farther away. It's 2 hours one way to a bigger center. So that would be 2 hours one way and 2 hours back. That's 4 hours.
Oh yeah.
So it's cool because I'm not. It's not like I don't like to play with people. You know, it's not like I don't like, you know, I don't. It's just one of the writing. Everyone says writing's a solitary craft. I take it almost to the extreme. I do. I don't share my writing with hardly anybody.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think it's because it's just so much. I mean, you know what it's like. Each book that you write has so much a part of you in it, whether it is an experience that you've written about and just elaborated on, whether it's a character or there's parts of you in it, and I'm a very private person, so I don't talk a lot about things like that. so don't care.
No, but that's an interesting thing. Well, you know, the work I'm working on now, I have way too many beta readers. I kind of backed into like six, and the problem is it's too many cooks spoil the broth. So, okay. You know, so I you know, and a lot of writers have wrote in isolation. So there's no right one right way.
For me, I actually go. This will be my fourth year in a row. I take 1 week in June, and I rent a cabin that is about 2 hours drive from my house. It has no radio, no telephone, no TV, no internet. I go by myself, leave my husband and my kitties alone, and I go for 7 solid days, and I write.
You do that. You live the dream.
Do it. Yeah. I started off house sitting. How this all got started? I started off house sitting for 2 days once, it was 3 days, and I did over 5,000 words in like 2 or 3 days. It was ridiculous how much I wrote, and I thought this is the ultimate. And that's what I did, because there's no schedule. You don't have to worry about getting up at a certain time. You don't have to worry about cooking for anybody else. You don't have to worry about cleaning up after yourself. If the place is dusty, it doesn't matter because it's not your place. And you just, if you want to write at 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it doesn't matter. And I got wicked, wicked amounts of word count then. So I do it every year.
But then you also write on a normal, you don't just write there, you write.
No, I write, I work full time, so I write like everybody else, when you can fit it in the evenings and the mornings, sometimes wherever, yeah.
No, I always think of the Dick Van Dyke Show, because he's like, okay, I'm gonna write my novel, so he gets the cabin, but then he goes up there and he can't concentrate and the whole thing falls apart. But you do it, you actually do it.
Oh yeah, so, I do the same every year.
So you write in isolation all the time. Man, that's impressive. That's cool.
Well, parts of me think that that's really strange, because when I write, I have to have total silence.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No music, no talking. If it's taken me years to finally write with my husband in the house. Before, I couldn't even write when he was in the house. I've actually overcome that hurdle. So if he's downstairs doing something, if he's watching TV or whatever, I'll go upstairs to the bedroom, shut the door, put in earplugs, and write. It's the only way I can do it. I've sat in my car in my driveway if he's working on something in the house, like banging something, in my driveway, in the car.
No distraction. So what happens? Like, I guess that'll be. I'll ask that question. Okay.
So what happens? What?
I'll ask a question about what would happen if we forced you to try to write with heavy metal music on.
It will not happen.
You just can't write? You'll just be like frozen like a deer in the headlights?
What would come out would probably be garbage. Like total.
Maybe that's my problem. I write with music and I write garbage.
Garbage.
No, I'm just kidding.
I can't.
Wow.
Because what happens is when I hear something, whether it's music, like instrumental, or whether it's words, I listen to the actual notes and I listen to the words. Then in my head, I picture what the words are trying, the music's trying to convey. So I got this little movie going on in my head. Well, that's totally distracting from what I need to go on in my head.
Right.
So, yeah.
Man, that's... Now, is place... See, for me, place is very important. I work from home. And okay. So where I write is very, very important. I can't write at the same place I work on my day job. So I have to, like, I go to a coffee shop or I go out in the back patio. And so place is really important for you. But if you're writing in your car, it sounds like place isn't important. It's more of like the silence is important.
Yeah, I can write. I used to, the first book I wrote, a lot of it, going in early to work at my workplace and going in an hour or two beforehand and writing. Or, it doesn't matter. It has to be silent. I have to write in silence.
So you go into your work, you go into your workplace, and so, you know, you're there early, no one else is there, and so you're typing away.
Yeah.
Inside.
I did that for a lot of the first book.
Now what questions do you have about Colorado?
Well, I can't ask you now, because if you're taping this, because it gives away the third, it'll give away.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Can't talk about anything.
Okay, yeah. Do we don't want to give anything away? Wow, that's a good pitch. I think your pitch is really, it totally makes me want to read the book, because, you know, it's the mystery of who's, you know, who tried to kill him. It's the, I mean, that's.
And then she's got to, and he's torn, because now, I mean, of course she doesn't call the guys in the rubber room and stuff, and then now he's starting to get feelings for her, and he has to decide, am I going to stay here, or am I going to have to go back, because he thinks that he might not be the only one who's in jeopardy. He's got a brother and his family, and because he is a prince, you know, is his father next in line for this would-be person who's trying
sure.
to be road and all this stuff. So he's like, he's torn, man. He's just like, what am I going to do?
Oh,
and how am I going to get back?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, is there any question you've been dying to answer about your book?
I don't understand my question. Sorry.
Oh, is there any, is you know, so you get interviewed and we talk about our book. Is there anything that you wish somebody would ask you about the book or about the writing process, or
okay, wow, you kind of caught me off guard. Of course, I'm going to think of it after we hang up. I just know it.
You can always email me.
Okay. No, I don't think so. Nope, not off the top. I mean, I've had other interviews where people said, what's the most important thing about when you're writing and stuff like that. I've had all that, but I don't think someone has asked me a question and said, I wish you'd ask me this. But no, the ideas for the places just came out of my head, and no, I can't think of anything.
See, I like you. I like, I'm the same way, man. I just want to make it all up. I just want to make it all up. I'll do some research and I'll, you know, get kind of the feel for it. But in the end, I just want to make it all up.
Well, sure. That's why I think fantasy is much more liberating than, let's say, contemporary thriller or stuff like that. Because when you're in modern day, there are rules you have to follow. Because if you write something that's so outrageous, people are going to say, this is not going to fly. I don't care if it's fiction or not. There has to be some type of credibility. It doesn't matter if it's fiction or not. But in fantasy, you can get away with almost anything, as long as it's written well.
Yeah, I could not be. I'm not a historical fiction type of guy. I will not do historical fiction. I don't have that mindset. And you talk to people who write historical fiction. They're like, no, I have to know exactly what the corner of Third and Elm was in Topeka, Kansas, in 1954. And I'm just like, man, I'm going to make all that stuff up.
Yeah, see, me too. But you know what's really, you want to hear what the really wacko thing about this entire thing? I don't like history. I failed history. I kid you not. I failed it in school. And to me, the past is irrelevant to me. It always has been. It's the future that really, really captivates. But yet, I write historical fantasy. Now, figure that one out.
Oh, no. I interviewed a woman she got terrible grades in English class. She hated English class and reading and writing. So, and then, irony of ironies, her high school English teacher helped her edit her first novel. So, no, this is, it's an interesting thing. Now, is there anything you don't want me to ask?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I think I'm good.
Well, I won't ask you anything personal. Because you're a private person.
Yeah.
No, I have some good stuff here. This is good. All right. Well, like I said, I will type up the questions for you, and I'll shoot it out to you.
Okay.
And then we'll schedule a time, and then we'll post about it. And thank you so much for agreeing. This has been great.
So, okay, now that we're off me.
Okay.
What's coming out? Like, what are you working on?
Okay, I'll pause the...